And Tom, I don't think we've heard from you enough on the panel. So I'd like to, one, tell us a little bit about running an airline, investing in airlines. I think 99% of people here in the room have no idea what that may be like, and provide some insight there. But also, we had a lot of questions that we planned to go through. We're not going to get through all of them, and I'd like to stop for questions from the audience in a minute. So if you want to also tack on an answer you had prepared for one of the other questions, that'd be great as well.
Great. Okay, so we're looking for co-investors to invest $150 million into an airline. We have a trans-Pacific model, kind of Iceland Air over the Pacific, and we're building a $1.5 billion business in 5 years. Right, so that's a 5% market penetration. We could build a $1.5 billion business. These are kind of high-tech, like, return, you know, potentials that we're going after, right? So you're surprising, like, a kind of brick-and-mortar, you know, capital-intensive business like airline could kind of yield that kind of return. We were surprised, too. I mean, the difficulty is normally the barriers of entry are high, right? The regulatory, the authorizations, the certificates. So if we already de-risked that. We already have that. We're operational. We did $67 million in revenue last year. So we're ready to go. We just need the co-investment to launch the Trans-Pacific. So that's kind of what we're looking for, right? Kind of being from the tech industry, we're looking for those kind of returns, right? We're looking for that kind of possibility, that kind of alpha. That's what Flycoin, the crypto-based travel rewards program, similar idea. We kind of have a token that is, you know, it's been minted, it's finite, and it's going to turn the travel rewards program on its head. And it's not going to be a great fit for major airlines, but for low cost carriers, who are now half of the industry, it's going to be beautiful because their return customer flies 1.2 times a year. They're never going to earn your million mile type rewards. That's not going to happen. This is, you know, it's a whole new phase, a whole new world. I'll stop there.
Sure. Great. If anyone really would like to ask a question, we'll bring a mic over to you. Just raise your hand. But the other question I was excited to ask a few of you, so just feel free to speak up if you want to answer it, is if you had to start all over again, how could you scale to $1 billion balance sheet or $1 billion in AUM twice as fast, knowing what you know now, for people here in the room that aren't at $1 billion yet?
I'll jump in really quick from a financial services custody perspective. Technology is really, really important. Building the pipes and plumbing to make private market investing available to the everyday American is really, really important. And we're right at the beginning. We've built a lot of the technology. We're starting to digitally integrate with various private market investing platforms. We really had to wait until those private market investing platforms were available. But I'm a firm believer that every American in the United States is going to be able to expose their retirement portfolio to private market deals. Their IRAs, their 401ks, it's coming. There's studies that are done that pensions have consistently outperformed 401ks. And the everyday American is outraged by this. I know, representing in financial services, the everyday American, I'm outraged by the fact that the everyday person doesn't have access to owning real estate or a piece of a single family home or a multifamily real estate complex. Everyone should have availability to that. And it's happening. It's coming. And financial services is trying to gear up for it. As a custodian, we're trying to gear up for it. We have a lot of the technology. But ultimately, we need a lot of the folks that are in the industry that have the products to be willing to invest the technology resources in order to be able to make all of this happen. And I'll say that blockchain is something that will be important to all of that.
I'd say be focused. When you get really have a little bit of taste of success young, you get distracted significantly. And you just can stay focused and stay humble. I think they could take you really far. Very hard to do as a human, though.
And awesome. Thank you.
That's easy. Partner with a billionaire. but seriously, partnering with a group that can help escalate the speed to market, right? You might have to give up something for it, but if you can put something into a distribution channel that's already there, or, you know, some way to piggyback on what somebody else has done, then that's the quickest way.
Right. I see a lot of people who want someone else just to be completely passive with them, but someone could add a ton of intelligence, credibility, and their huge balance sheet. and they're just closed-minded to that possibility, like I mentioned earlier. Brenton, were you going to say something?
Yeah, for sure. Say just exactly the same thing. Obviously, we all like to do our deals and keep all the money on our own side, and we're the big guy on campus or big girl on campus. But partnering with people that know what they're doing, trustworthy, and you trust them is the best way that I think Caliber has grown tremendously. I opened up our Texas market 3 years ago, and we have a couple co-GPs there. We turned zero assets under management. We'll probably have $150 million in maybe 2 or 3 years, if not more. And I've talked to a few in the room in other states. But partnering, and maybe we don't make our full stack of fees, or maybe we don't get that full return, but we can spread and diversify out, and we learn from our partners at the same time while growing a lot quicker than us doing it all ourselves.
Right. Awesome. Jason, you want to add anything to that or anything else you want to mention about your strategies and your focus right now? And then we'll see if there was one or two questions out here. I think maybe in the back there was one.
Yeah, I would say earlier I spoke about solving sophisticated, complex problems. And I would say to grow faster, not ignore the simple problems that you can solve better than someone else. One of the things we're here working on is kind of solving an easy way logistically and operationally, which we forget about a lot of accessing private equity markets, and specifically the private equity markets that used to drive returns 30, 40, 50 years ago when private equity was infantile, where companies were bought and made better through execution, through consulting talent, through operational improvements. And now a lot of the access vehicles, and even what John's talking about, the democratization of alternatives is real and happening. Unfortunately, it's happening in two ways. It's happening in one way where the biggest alternative firms are building super watered down high fee products. And then it's happening hopefully with more people like our firm that are building the old school version of private equity, where you get access to great management talent in smaller companies where there's a ton of value to be added. So I would say if you want to hear more about that, we can stop by our booth and I'll leave it there.